Welcome back to the Period Panel, proudly supported by Active Iron.
Hayley, it's great to have you on the Period Panel to have a chat. I know you're busy with football between Ireland and Crystal Palace. How's everything going?
Yeah, no, it's gone really, really well. We're about 4 or 5 weeks into the season now, so we're undefeated at the moment, so it's been going pretty well so far.
That's a good stat to have, and hopefully you can retain it as long as possible.
I know, yeah, we play on Sunday, so hopefully it sticks that way.
We'll keep the fingers crossed. So in relation to being a professional footballer, you've obviously gotten as far as overcoming the hurdle of managing having a period and menstrual cycle. So I want to take it back to the beginning. Do you remember getting your first period?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think I was actually a bit later on. I think I was about 15, 16 that I got my period. I think I got it just when I was in school. And obviously, when you're in school, you kind of have a panic. You're like, oh my God, what do I do? Especially because I think I would usually just turn to my mom or something at that time. But I think I just turned to one of my friends. I was like, I have my period and like, what do I do kind of thing. And thankfully, they had some tampons or pads or anything with them. And so they just kind of handed them over. But at that stage, when you're 15, 16 in school, you kind of feel a bit embarrassed a little bit when you get it, because you obviously don't know much about it. So yeah, it was kind of a bit of a strange time.
Did you feel that you were a little bit behind other people? Like, had your friends already had their periods? Or why do you kind of mention that you felt a bit embarrassed?
I think maybe because I don't think I spoke about it that much leading into it. And so obviously I wasn't aware of a lot of information around it. And I think a couple of my friends did have their period. And I think, like you touched on, you might feel like you're a little bit behind in that way. And not knowing any information, you kind of feel a bit like, oh, if you don't know it, you get a bit embarrassed that you don't really have that information. But thankfully, like, obviously I was surrounded by good friends and everything. So they kind of helped me out quite quickly.
So in relation to that kind of insight and education, like, where did you get it along the way? You know, obviously you've managed to figure it out now. So was it something you kind of eased into quite quickly, and who were the people that you talked to?
Yeah, no, I think it was something I definitely eased into. I think around sports, especially, like, obviously when I first got my period, I was a bit nervous to play sports because I wasn't sure if I would leak or if anything like this would happen. And so I think I really touched on it mainly with my friends. I think especially girls that that played sports alongside me, just kind of asking their opinion on it or what they've been doing and kind of learning it from that way.
And I suppose, what was some of the advice that you got, or some of the maybe advice that you would have for people now? Because I know we try and talk to people from as many different backgrounds and as many different sports as possible. Like, I came from a swimming background, so I'm able to give advice in around swimming. Yeah. And while I suppose I did play a little bit of you know, pitch sport, I don't really remember you know, managing things like traveling to a match or half time. Like, my main sport was swimming, so I don't know if I just got on with things, or maybe it didn't impact me that much because I didn't play that much pitch sports. But from your perspective, obviously you've been elbow deep in that for a lot of your lifetime. So what are some of the tips that you have for people?
I think for me, when I first played like sports and, like you said, on field sports, I think for me it's just being prepared in the sense of having enough like tampons or pads with you. I think that was something that I needed to like be aware of, because obviously when you're playing field sports, you need to constantly change your tampon, like if it's at just before you go out, halftime, right after. And I think that's just kind of what I was getting from my friends and some of my eldest sisters as well, like just saying, make sure that you're prepared, like having those like your best friends almost and your paracetamol and everything with you to make sure that like you're kind of dealing with that pain side of it. And I think it's just what I was told is just not be afraid to like to speak up if you need something, you know. Don't like just say you did forget like your tampons or your pads, not being afraid to speak up and not like allowing yourself to be uncomfortable, you know, and because you obviously want to be comfortable when you're playing sports, because that's when you play your best. I think it's just being sure that you're surrounded by people that can help you if you need it.
So during, like, rewinding back to when you're playing, like, you know, at school or something like that, during halftime, are you like, is there enough time to run off and go to the bathroom?
So yeah, there was a little bit of that. I think because when I played, obviously nowadays that I play professionally and stuff, we go into the changing room, you get your 15 minutes, you get time to kind of do everything. When I was in school, playing soccer, for instance, like we would be out in the field and it would be like halftime would be on the field. And that's kind of like, you can't really go inside. But at that moment, like obviously it's hard when you're younger and just say, for instance, I had a man as my coach, it's hard to kind of turn to them and be like, I need to go in, because that's a different conversation for like a 15, 16-year-old. And I know that I definitely struggle with that in a sense, but also having people who were also going through that kind of helped me. And I think that's why being on a, kind of like the team sport kind of helped. And I feel like that would be hard if you're on your own. I mean, when you do a sport by yourself, like that's difficult. But for me, being on that field, and like my friends were like, just ask the question, just say you need to go. And like that kind of having that kind of push kind of helped me to kind of do that in a way.
Yeah, no, that's good. Like, I suppose that the encouragement is there from your friends. It sounds like you're part of a really nice group. In terms of facilities, because I know it's something we hear a lot about. Again, going back to like those types of pitch sports, and I know sometimes, like, look, obviously it's expensive to run a club, but there hasn't always been like women's facilities available. And whether it's like changing rooms or whether it's toilets, you know, sometimes there are clubs that literally just have a pitch. So when you were playing football, growing up, was that something that you experienced much? Is it something that becomes a concern, or did you find actually that in the clubs that you were playing against that they did have facilities that were suitable?
I think the majority of the time I was always able to kind of run inside and go into one of the facilities. There was never a case where they were kind of like, you're stuck outside and this is what you have to deal with kind of thing. So I was lucky in that sense. There was always a way to kind of, even if it was like a quick, like 5 minute run in, like you would just sprint in and go in quickly. And they would allow you to do that, because I think obviously when you're coaching girls, you kind of have to let it happen. You can't just be like, no, you can't go in. So I was very lucky in that sense that like I did actually have the facilities to kind of do that.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. And look, it can obviously be different sport to sport, and maybe in football that there is enough facilities there for people, but we've definitely heard that. But yeah, that's good news, music to my ears anyway. I know before we jumped on the call, you had mentioned previously that you think that, periods and menstrual cycle is still a bit of a taboo topic. Can you tell me a little bit more about why you think this?
Yeah, no, I think for me, like I have touched on that, I had friends that were supportive, and obviously I have my elder sisters and everything like that. But I still think when I was growing up, it was still like a conversation that like I said already, that I felt a bit uncomfortable. And I feel like nowadays, the more conversations we have about it, I don't want people that are now 15, 16 to feel like that. I want them to feel like they can have those conversations openly and freely, because like you said, half the population is dealing with this. So it's not like something that we should be embarrassed about or anything like that. But definitely when I was younger, I don't think it was spoke about enough, especially with like the sporting side, because that's mainly what I was involved in. I don't think it was spoke about like the effects it can have on you as an athlete, on and off the pitch. And so I definitely think that it's something that we need to have more conversations about. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation, just because I think it opens the doors for younger people to feel comfortable about it.
And where, I suppose, do you think we should be having these conversations? Do we need to be having them in school? Do we need to be having them in sports clubs? Do we need to do it at both?
No, I think at both, definitely. I think especially from a younger age, like when I played at Piedmont United when I was younger, from 12 to about 18, and I don't ever remember having any type of like conversation or having anyone come in and speak to us about it. And I was on an all-female team, and I think that would have been very beneficial. I think all of us would have loved having that information. I think maybe that's somewhere that we can kind of have those conversations, if it's like athletes themselves going back to their old clubs and having those conversations, that could be beneficial as well.
Yeah, that's actually something that we do as well, is we do go into to schools and clubs and talk about the landscape of women's sport, and touching on periods and menstrual cycle, and trying to give advice, I suppose, to teenagers on how to best manage them, but then also working with parents and coaches to try and understand that perspective, because sometimes it can be hard to put yourself back in those shoes and remember what it's like. Do you remember what it was like at school? Like, did you see many girls sitting out of PE, or did people still engage?
I think it was a mix. I think for me, like I always kept playing, because I think I was in, that was the class that I absolutely adored. So I was like, I'm definitely not like missing out on this. But like, yeah, I went to an all female school. And so like there was definitely times when girls would sit out because they were in pain or their back aches. And I think teachers obviously were a little bit like, it depended obviously on the teacher, but they were a bit like, okay, if you're in that much pain, you can sit out, and that kind of stuff. But I do think that sport can help in a way to kind of ease the pain in some senses. I know it's quite difficult to start, but once you get into it, I think it could actually help the pains and the kind of the backaches and the headaches and that kind of stuff. But there was definitely times when girls would sit out, and I think that there's just a lack of information or knowledge from the from the school as a whole to kind of help in that kind of situation.
Yeah, I definitely remember being in secondary school, and honestly, I think it got worse the older we got, that people would be like, you headed towards like fifth and sixth year, people were like, oh, I've got my period. And like, we did have a male PE teacher in our school, and I think for him it's like kind of a difficult one, because he would just be like, okay, but like, a third of the class or whatever sitting over, it could even have been more. And then you see, people that seem to have their period every week. And I think some of it is sometimes used as a bit of an excuse to not participate, which is disappointing, because obviously like movement and PE and something is what we should be encouraging girls and students to do. And there might need to be adaptations, I suppose, sometimes in the in PE, in terms of like what we're actually doing, like what do we need to do to get girls interested and wanting to participate. But sometimes you do see something like a period being used as an excuse. Like, obviously there are legitimate times where people are in pain and are really uncomfortable, but I think what you're saying there in terms of the education for the schools and the teachers to try and encourage them to get involved. There was definitely a female PE teacher. She would have been a little bit older when I was in school, and I don't think anyone would have tried to pull the wool over her eyes,
Oh, there's
and she'd
definitely
have been
those
like,
teachers that
and
you're like, no, I'm not gonna say it to them. You're like, I'll just partake, you know what I mean? There's always those teachers as well.
But I think it could be something that's really informative actually for the girls as well. Like you said, knowing that movement can actually help, relieve some of the side effects, whether that is a headache or whether it's cramps. Something like PE, like I really enjoyed it as well. Like I love PE, so I guess like I was participating in sport and was used to, I suppose, managing having my menstrual cycle. But for people to like in PE, it's not like it was hugely taxing. It's all you can like apply yourself as much or as little as you want, but you can still get up and move in some respect. That I do think that people can, rein it back if they feel like it's getting if they're pushing themselves too hard and that type of thing. I suppose, what do you think that we could do other than maybe talking to the teachers and the school around, those conversations? Like, is there anything that we can do with the girls to maybe encourage them to get involved in PE a bit more, and if they do have their period, to get involved, but then also not to lean on the excuse of the period and trying to pull the wool over the teacher's eyes?
No, I know. No, I'd say it's difficult because obviously at that age too, like you are quite like prone to be like, if I don't want to do something, like I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? At that age. And like, I completely get it because when I get my period, sometimes I'm in so much pain and I'm like, I really don't want to get up for training. But then when I get to training and I get playing and I'm doing it, you almost like, obviously people are different and it doesn't, some people actually go through pain throughout the whole session. But for me, I feel like it eases off and I feel like I actually feel a lot better once I've done the exercise. And obviously, it's hard because it's the same thing as just having those conversations and talking to them. But maybe it's about getting people around their age to speak to them about it, because maybe it's a bit more relatable rather than having, I don't know, like the principal of the school or older people coming in and speaking to them. Because obviously, when you're 16, 17, you do listen, but it's also like if there's such an age gap where they you can't really relate to them, it's hard to kind of take on board what they're saying. As long, if it's someone that you kind of can relate to, it's a bit different. You might actually take on what they're saying and kind of implementing it. I think maybe that could be a way to go forward with it.
And I know the participation levels of teens and of children actually in sport and in physical activity is actually down quite low, and not meeting the recommended guidelines of physical activity. So we definitely do need to be doing something to try and engage students. And I suppose the other thing to try and maybe spread the word is, like, people say you never regret exercising or going for a run or going to the gym. I'm sure there's like a very, very few occasions that you might, if you like, injure yourself or something like that. But like, 99% of the time, like you feel better after you've gone and done something, no matter how big or small it is. So I suppose sharing that message and the value of a bit of exercise and movement for your overall health.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it's just important to also for like young girls to see other girls that participate in sport. So I think like for me, I think with the Irish team, the women's soccer team, I think they're doing a really good job of publicizing the team and getting them like visually so that younger kids can see them. Because once you can see it, then you believe that you can do it. And that's like, I think that's the important message. And I think it's across the board, not just football. I think it should be across the board for all sports, so that whatever kind of activity a young girl is interested in, they have someone to look up to and they can relate to. So I think it's just important to kind of have that across the board and publicizing it and getting people just more like on TV, on radio, so they can just hear it and they can see it. I think that's just so important.
Absolutely. And I suppose now, as a professional footballer, like, what are the kind of conversations or actions that are taken in the team in relation to periods of menstrual cycle?
Yeah, no, I think it's huge. I've seen a huge difference. So I've been a professional, this is my 4th year as a professional. I was in college before that, and I don't think there was that much conversation before I came to England to play. Because nowadays, for my club and also for my country, we have to log our menstrual cycle. So we do that daily. Like, I have to fill out an app, like not just on my menstrual cycle, but it's for like everything that you're kind of feeling that day, or injuries or anything like that. But they obviously want to track it for a reason. They want to see like when you're on your period, for instance, because on that week that you might be more likely to injury, because your coordination's a little bit off. Like, you might feel backaches, headaches, and that can all affect you in the way that you're playing. So I've seen a huge like switch almost in how important it is within the professional game, when I moved here.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting to hear. And I know we would have heard the stories in relation to Chelsea and in relation to the US women's national team as well over the past few years. So it's great to hear that more teams are, deploying this strategy and trying to support as much as possible. I remember speaking to somebody in rugby over the last couple of months, and they had said when they were playing, they are retired now, that, in some of those kind of surveys that you're talking about to check in on someone's like health and well-being, that, periods actually wasn't in it for a while, like your menstrual cycle was in it for a while. So now that has shifted there too. So we're heading in the right direction. I suppose with that information, are there any kind of strategies or practices that you now put in place to like optimize your performance during different phases of your cycle? Or is there anything that you've learned about yourself that you didn't know before?
I think for me, like, I think it's more like the fueling correctly leading up to my period, like hydrating, making sure I'm eating, having more protein, and just trying to stay on top of that leading into it. Because I know that that week I'm going to be feeling sluggish. I'm not going to be feeling 100% myself. And like when you go out to training, I feel like I'm trying to be more concentrated or more switched on, even though your body actually feels less switched on because you're feeling a bit sluggish. So I feel like leading into that, I'm just trying to be really on top of my hydration and my fueling, and then also that recovery side of it as well, and making sure that you are taking care of yourself after training. And I know that when you're finished training, you might still feel a bit tired and you're like, oh, I just want to go home. But I feel like in those moments, it's just making sure that you're doing like ice baths, or if it's recovery boots or something, just to kind of help offset it, because obviously you're feeling like a little bit down that week.
So what it sounds like really is that you're putting all the right building blocks in place, like leading up to your period, preparing for actually having your period.
No, definitely. I think that is through the like I'm learning that through with Ireland and with my coaching here at Crystal Palace, and they're just kind of giving me that information, being like, if you do these things, like obviously you're not going to feel 100% that week, but like it might help you a little bit, and even that slight like 1% might make you feel a tiny bit better kind of going and training. And obviously you're going to take that when you're feeling kind of a little bit down.
Absolutely. And then in terms of the kind of conversation with your team, like, is it something that is now an open conversation, I suppose, as adults, as professional footballers, or do you still find there's a little bit of awkwardness or taboo around it?
No, it's definitely a conversation that's completely easy. I feel completely at ease when I'm having the conversation. I think it's just because they know that the menstrual cycle can affect you. Like, obviously, sports and playing as an athlete, your job is all physical. And so when I get this kind of period week, like, it obviously isn't an injury, but it's almost kind of like an illness in one way, because it does affect you so much mentally and physically, you know, like, so. I think that they realize that it can affect you, and they obviously want to optimize you as a player, because they want to get the most out of you. So obviously they want to know the most about you, and they want to give you that information to kind of get the best out of you. So I feel like it's definitely a conversation that's kind of easy to have.
So there, I suppose, I guess I was talking maybe about the other players, but you're talking a bit around the coaching
Oh,
staff and
sorry.
physios and nutritionists and everything.
Yeah,
Yeah,
no, the coaches.
brilliant.
But even the players themselves, like, I think as women in a professional environment, I think especially on my team. I'm not sure, I can't speak for everyone, but it is very like conversation you can have easily, and you can tell when people come in, they kind of just walk in, they're like, oh, it's just not my week, it's not my day today, like I'm feeling it, you know. And in those situations you kind of have to take it on. And in terms of like, just say that girl that comes in and says, oh, I'm on my period and I don't feel great, and just say she goes into training and she's not having a great like first drill or first session, it's about like at least you know that she's on her period and you can kind of put your arm around her and be like, it's okay, like you know what I mean, we all go through those kind of days. And not being like, obviously when you're in a team environment you want to hold standards, but it's also knowing what people are going through in that moment.
Yeah, and as you said, like kind of supporting each other
Yeah.
and encouraging each other, like it's, you know, it's a cycle, you know, and it, days will be different, and you know, it comes in swings and roundabouts in terms of you know, what you can achieve, and you have to obviously listen to your body. Like that's what you know, physios, nutritionists, doctors will tell you. So
Yeah.
you know, you don't want to put yourself, I suppose, in a compromising position where you're, you know, sometimes overdoing it and ignoring you know, the different signs. But then on the other hand, you don't want to be too soft on yourself either. Like you can get up there and do it.
Yeah.
And you know, we've mentioned there that, you know, 50% of the population have a period, a menstrual cycle, and we all manage to you know, for the most part, continue about our daily lives and what's required.
We're delighted to be working with Active Iron for season two of the Period Panel. I myself have been taking their supplements for over a year and have had a really positive experience. One of the best things about Active Iron is the fact that it's so gentle on the stomach. So now let's dive back into the Period Panel.
Yeah, I suppose in relation to the Irish kit, you know, we've seen that there have been some changes across different teams, moving towards navy shorts and green shorts and that. I suppose talk to us a little bit about playing in the white shorts, when representing Ireland.
Yeah, no, I think for us, it's obviously they are our colours. We've always been green, white, green, I think it is, when we play. And I think it's such like a traditional look, and it's something that we've all played in for so many years. And I think growing up when I was younger into international teams, like you do worry a little bit when you're on your period, like 'cause obviously white shorts can be deathly if you're on your period, especially if you're on day one or day two. I think it's something that like I've almost gotten used to in a sense, and making sure that I have like skins and extra like tampons or anything available. But I think it's definitely something that we're kind of having a conversation about, because obviously I know a lot of other teams have changed to kind of darker colors.
Yeah, and I suppose something else that's interesting as well is the development of like period pants, and I know they have like period
Yeah.
shorts as well. So what you're mentioning there in terms of like skins, like you could actually wear like period shorts underneath your shorts too, which can like add that kind of, I suppose, layer of security and comfort
Yeah.
for people when they are playing. Which is, yeah, it's fascinating watching all the developments in the space over the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, definitely. I know that leading into the World Cup, that was a conversation that us as a team had, and I know that they did provide them with the period shorts and the skins
Okay.
leading into the World Cup, because obviously that was a conversation going in, leading into it. Obviously, we're going to play in front of 70,000 people, and you're wearing white shorts. And imagine that's the day that you came on your period, you know, at the World Cup. It's a huge stage. It's not something that you want to be kind of focusing on or worrying about. And I know that they did provide us with that kind of support if needed.
Interesting. And then I suppose kind of on that topic, like, you know, we're talking about changes and conversations and breaking down barriers. Are there any other changes that you'd like to see put in place? I suppose whether this is for like, you know, teenagers, adults, people that are like just generally for women or for within sport.
Sorry, do you mean like in terms of like the period, like as in like.
Yeah, anything related to like period and menstrual cycle, like things that we can change, you know, for the better.
No, I think like for me, I've been quite fortunate in a way that in where I've been in terms of coming from to England, like I've been quite fortunate in terms of like having those conversations or having everything available that I needed. And I know that that's not the case for other people. And I know that it wasn't the case for me when I played underage football, for instance. And I think maybe it is at grassroots levels back in, obviously I'm going to speak about Ireland because that's where I'm from, but grassroots levels in Ireland, like having those kind of like tampons or pads accessible to young girls and not making it like you have to kind of source it in a way. You know what I mean? Like as in I feel like when you go to a game or when you go to a competition, they should be there and they should be available to you if you need them. Like if you go into the bathroom, they're there, not having to be like scrambling case, oh my God, I got my period and I didn't have these things available. You know what I mean? So I just think it's important to kind of have them out and about and just being accessible.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing moves, I suppose, around that. Like there's different organizations doing work for period poverty, and obviously like different period products can actually be quite expensive, and it's something that we have, but we didn't necessarily ask for. But in the, I suppose when you're privileged to be able to afford them, you can kind of maybe take for granted that you are they are accessible to you. But it can be something that's really challenging for different people, and it all does add up. So I know that there's schools and clubs that are trying to put those measures in place, to support girls. I suppose on the days that they get their period and they didn't expect it, but also maybe the girls and women that do experience period poverty, and that it's there, that you can remain involved in sport, or not be stressing in school or work or whatever it might be, that those things are there to support
Well,
you.
yeah, I was going to say that, like, just say you don't have the accessibility to that, you might not play sports. And like you were saying earlier, the drop off of people doing PE is huge. And it actually could be partially because of that.
Yeah,
You know what I
absolutely.
mean? So, like, if it is accessible, then it might bring up the percentages even by a little bit, which is what we all want.
Yeah. And I suppose kind of on the topic, I know there's conversation right now at the moment. Do you think it's something that we should have to pay for? Do you think it's something that we should be that should be accessible to us? Like it's something that is an added cost, as a woman. And again, it's something that we that's just like nature, and we have to get on with it. But there doesn't really seem to be any equivalent from a male perspective.
No, I know, and I know this conversation happens a lot. I actually have this conversation a lot with my friends as well, because we're all girls and we love having chats about this type of stuff. But I definitely think it should be something that we're just like access like that's accessible to us. I don't think that we should have to pay fortunes for, because sometimes things are very expensive for no reason, and like as you were saying, it just happens. Like we didn't ask for it. So I think it should definitely be something that is kind of like just there and given to us. But I'm sure it would be a topic that will definitely be discussed for years to come anyway.
Yeah, no, I know they're discussing it in different countries, and they're trying to put measures in place and that type of thing. And obviously it's trying to support, I suppose, the people that can't afford it first. There can be millions and millions of women across the world. So I understand it is costly. So money does have to come from somewhere. But yeah, it is being discussed in a lot of countries, and they are starting to starting to talk about it a bit more, and seeing how we can support women a bit further. And again, not something that we necessarily ask for.
Ask for it. Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, thanks so much for chatting to me about your experience and any advice that you have. I don't know if there's any kind of final words or key moments of advice that you might have for anyone that might be listening.
No, I just think for me, growing up, I think I wish I was a bit more comfortable and a bit more kind of had the confidence just ask questions and kind of just get the answers that I needed. And I think that's just the advice I would have, even though it's easier said than done. But I think even if you have somebody that you can lean to, if it's a sister or a friend or a mother, I think it's just making sure that you ask those questions and not to feel too embarrassed by it, because we all have it at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, and good luck over the next couple of weeks and months with Crystal Palace and with Ireland as well. Great to see you back in the squad, and yeah, we're excited to see the journey that the Irish team will be on over the next few months and years as well.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Period Panel. Thanks for listening. Be sure to connect with Her Sport across all of the social media platforms, particularly on Instagram, because we'll be putting up a question box before we shoot every episode. Our episodes will be a combination of athletes and health experts, and we'll direct your question to the person that's best able to answer. We hope to see you again at the next episode of the Period Panel.